We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You are listening to KC Sports Network, which is proudly presented by Emprise Bank, your partner in possible. Coming up, the latest episode of KCSN Update, your daily Chiefs podcast and video from us here at KCSN. It's the headlines, rumors, stories, and stats people are talking about to get you through the day and caught up with all things Chiefs. Different guests each week with different perspectives. The latest episode of KCSN Update, proudly presented by DraftKings, begins now.
Hello and welcome into today's episode of KCSN Update. Guess what? The Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. We're here to talk about it. I'm here with Craig Stout, one-third of the KC Laboratory. Super excited to talk about this game. But before we get into the game, I've got to tell you about our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. The stage is set, and we're counting down to the battle in Arizona. There's no better way to get ready for the NFL action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 57. New customers can bet just $5 and get 200 in free bets instantly. Plus, all new and existing customers can take up a shot at even bigger payouts with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Boost your Super Bowl 57 winnings with each leg you add up to 100%. I love the DraftKings Sportsbook app. It's phenomenal. User experience is great. Same game parlays. You can get so much dubs out of those.
So much. I mean, you are constantly referencing the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Here in Vegas, we have sports books everywhere, and he is still constantly using it. Yes,
can't use it here, but I try my best. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use that code KCSN. New customers can bet $5 on Super Bowl 57 and get 200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code KCSN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Obviously, void in Ohio. See show notes for details. Craig, thank you for joining me. Super excited to get to talk to you about this game.
Yes, I'm super excited to talk about this game because. I mean, they won another AFC champion. This has become an old hat. Like, this is crazy at this point. My time as a Chiefs fan, I've obviously, you know, been around this team for a long time. I've been a fan of this team for a long time. Being around and following what they've done over the years, it is surreal still. It does not get any easier when you sit there and you look at this. Just your team's playing in the Super Bowl again. Three times, mm-hmm. And I know, I love that we could just call it three times in 4 years. Like, chop out that first one, but it's still so good for Patrick Mahomes to say three times in 5 years with Mahomes as a starter. I mean, that's ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous.
It's insane, and it feels like the further we'll get away, the further more perspective we'll have. Mm-hmm. On this game, and even as we get further away from the Chiefs beating the Bengals, we were obviously live after the game. If you haven't checked out the live post game show, go listen to that, go watch it, because we're at the Blue Wire Studios here in Las Vegas. Incredible studio, people who run in that studio as well. So make sure you go check that out if you haven't already. But Craig and I are here to talk about some three groups on this team, not necessarily position groups, but just three groups of players that stepped up during the AFC Championship game that were absolutely vital, absolutely huge. And first, I want to talk about some updates that Andy Reid gave in his Zoom press conference following the game on Monday morning. There's a lot of talk going on Twitter. Lots of talk from the players to, a lot less talk from Cincinnati.
Yeah, a little less. or a lot less from Cincinnati?
A lot less from Cincinnati. It seems like Cincinnati was doing all the talking coming in. Now Kansas City's doing all the talking now. There's tweets from, it seems like, every player from practice squad members to active players and superstars. Like Patrick Mahomes had the tweet, who do you think you are? I am GIF. What's incredible. Travis Kelce talking smack.
I mean, he was doing that in the post game. So like that. Yeah.
Didn't stop. I mean, Joshua Williams, you got Colin Saunders out here tweeting pictures, smoking cigars. Tommy Townsend out here smoking cigars. Everybody's celebrating the game. And I think the biggest kind of point, you know, Andy always starts his press conference with this. This comes from Charles Goldman at the Chiefs Wire. He also helps us out with the KCSN Daily newsletters. If you don't subscribe to KCSN Daily, you can find a link in the description to do that. No new injuries from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid this morning. Huge. Now, there are injuries, obviously, after the game.
But nothing new.
Nothing new. Mm-hmm. No new updates coming, but no new injuries, especially after a game when the adrenaline settles down and then those guys think, wait a minute, man. You know, my ribs are kind of hurting. They're like, because we saw Isaiah Pacheco take some shots.
Yes, we did. And then we saw Isaiah Pacheco dancing in the locker room. And that knee looks good, guys. It looks great.
I think he's fine. Andy Reid did talk about a Legarius Sneed's concussion that he does have. That kid has done a great job for us. He was going to cover Jamar Chase. He called him number one. Obviously, that's just what Andy does. Yeah. If he can be back, he'll be back. If he can't, we'll go another direction is what Andy
so,
said.
So, I mean, that's interesting. I do love that little nugget there. That's the first time that I've heard that. We were noting during the live stream because we did the full live stream of that. By the way, it's a lot of fun if you start like towards the end right there to see some of the emotions. But Legarius Sneed there at the beginning was not shadowing. They were playing a lot of zone, was not shadowing Jamar Chase. So the note there. He was going to cover Jamar Chase.
Yeah.
Yep. Interesting to note there.
It is, especially when you start to think about later in the game, Jamar Chase had some plays.
Yes.
I think Legarius Sneed might have been able to play a little bit better than
get up on the ball and make a play in the air. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting to talk about. And especially with this week, it's a little kind of wonky with the week off before the Super Bowl, everything like that. Yeah.
We're used to it though.
We are used to it. Coach Reid said, we'll take this like we have. Just, you know, and we can talk about as a game plan week.
Yeah,
is what they'll do it as. So if you're wondering that's how the Chiefs are going to play it, and there's obviously a ton of storylines, and we're obviously gonna have a ton of podcasts for you leading up to the Super Bowl. But one of the easiest storylines probably is Chiefs playing the Eagles. Andy Reid was the head coach of the Eagles at one point for 14 seasons. He said, well, when you really cut to the chase on it, they're a really good football team. When it's kickoff, you're playing that team. It's against the players and the coaches. You're going against the uniform and all that. That's not where your mind's at.
Sure.
You know, Andy, I get it. Business as usual.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, he's saying that, of course.
It's going to mean something.
It's going to mean something to him. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that this would be a wild one if it was for Andy Reid's first, but because he's got one under his belt, you know, he's played the Eagles since then. This isn't something, you know, and the Eagles they sent him out, but it wasn't bad blood on the way out. And I do think that matters because I do think that Andy has a genuine respect for that organization and they do for him as well. So it's not going to be like put him up. This is going to be a mean a lot, but it is still going to mean a lot. I mean, for Andy Reid, that is where he had his home for a long, long time. It's where some of these assistants came from, too. I mean, it's not just Andy. There's a lot of these guys that were in Philly with Andy. So it is going to mean something just a little bit extra, but we're never going to hear that from Andy Reid. Correct.
Brett Veach was a guy who started with him in Philly.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, there's a lot of ties there. Really, between both of these teams have a lot of ties to each other. Mm-hmm. It's really cool to see Jalen Hurts trains with Bobby Stroop.
Yeah.
Who trains, as you know, Patrick Mahomes. So like, there's a lot of
AJ Brown went to high school with Willie Gay Jr. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And AJ Brown shouting out Willie Gay. That was really cool to see on Twitter there. Yeah.
It was super cool. And let's talk about Chris Jones a little bit. Andy Reid said he huge impact. He was relentless. He did against the run and in the past. You know, kind of the biggest knocks against Chris Jones in the past has been his kind of his, let's say lackadaisical nature in the run game. Sometimes his choosing of spots when to play did not have that problem last night
or all year. I mean, realistically, I mean, that's kind of what the evolution of his game under Joe Cullen has been. We talked extensively about that, but he was a terror in the run, pass, any element. He was getting doubled most of the night, and that double was displaced 3 yards into the backfield. And so that ruins run fits. That ruins everything for the opposition. It's just so hard to take care of him. And yeah, he was phenomenal.
Last quote from Brett Veach here. Or not Brett Veach. I saw a picture of Brett Veach.
Yeah.
And that made me think of him. From Andy Reid here about Sky Moore. And then I'll use this and we'll get into kind of what we're going to talk about, kind of these three groups that stepped up. This was Andy Reid's quote. Listen, if he can get back and have success doing other things as a receiver, maybe we can come back to this. That's what happened with this and the injuries that took place, talking about him as a punt returner. So let's talk about him as a punt returner. Because that was – and I even said to you, Craig, during the live stream on the return – it had to be.
Had to be
Sky Moore in a punt return situation. Everyone all year was saying, get him out of there. What is he doing back there? And it had to be Sky Moore coming up with the biggest return of his career, of his young career, but coming out there doing that big return. I thought he really stepped up when they really needed him the most.
Absolutely. It's going to be a theme in this podcast, but I mean, Kadarius Toney goes down. Mecole Hardman goes down. Justin Watson is unavailable. Like, he's the punt returner. There was not another option there, especially since Trent McDuffie, another guy that we saw repping at times, was banged up. Like, I mean, he's still out there toughing it out and playing, but you didn't want to put any more reps on that. Dave Tobe has to be sitting there right now watching what Sky Moore did on that punt return and go, that's why I was doing it, guys. Like, this is why we were doing this in training camp. We repped this. We saw this. We knew what he could do. That's why I kept giving him those reps. That's why we kept doing it. And it wasn't just that punt return. It was the other punt return that also was an excellent return. Sky Moore had a phenomenal day, and it wasn't just on offense. And so it has to be vindicating, not just for Sky Moore, who had been vilified. And I mean, you can point to some of those games that, you know, special teams blunders, errors, turnovers. You can point to some of those games. It's like it was either closer than it needed to be, or it was a loss because of Sky Moore, because of special teams. So having Sky Moore step up, play such a big role on this. Yeah, you're right. It had to be. In order to write this story the way that it's been written, it had to be Sky Moore and nobody else.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
And it had to be Cincinnati too, yes, right? Like, it had to be Cincinnati. Yes. It had to be Sky Moore. It's one of those redemption arcs that you just absolutely, you love to see. I know that kind of term is thrown out there a lot, but really that redemption arc of not only, I mean, let's talk about just the whole special teams unit as a whole.
Yeah.
Because we knew going into this game, the special teams were going to play an absolutely huge part of this in this football game. And it's a third of the game. You know, we were out here at the Shrine Bowl. It's a third of practice. Like they're spending plenty of time
sometimes more than a third, unfortunately, some of these staffs. But you know, yeah, it happens.
It is. But I think that one of those things, when you really kind of put it into perspective, Harrison Bucker really stepped up.
Yes.
Tommy Townsend had good punts when
Tommy
he needed
Townsend
to have good
had
punts.
Monster punts.
He had good holds.
Yes.
I mean, it's not something you used to talk about, but he had good holds when he needed to have good holds. I remember when the Chiefs elected to punt late in the game, I think it was close to the 2-minute warning, yep, to give the ball back to the Bengals. That was a head scratching decision, I think, on many levels. But the punt that Tommy Townsend did, I think, phenomenal, put him down at the mm-hmm. 7. Mm-hmm. We can have a conversation about fourth down decision making, all that, but sure, still puts them down at the 7, forces yep. them to have to make a drive. They do convert on a couple of times. Ultimately, didn't hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
And starting that drive at the 7 is a whole lot different than starting at the 20 if he does put that in the end zone.
Absolutely.
So I think that's...
If they start that at the 20 and they move the ball the way that they did, they're probably going for...
In McPherson range, at least.
Absolutely. They're probably going for a fourth down at the very worst case right. scenario in that spot. Yes.
And it's something that this year, I mean, we talked about special teams blunders. Dave Tobe has too much control, everything like that. We talked about that all year. It was one of the biggest reasons, I think, that the Chiefs won this game. And you know, we talked about Sky Moore and the returns. You could say that's the reason they lost the Colts game.
Yep.
You could say Kadarius Toney fumbled and ended up hurting him. And even like when you got different guys back there, there were still special teams blunders. But when it mattered the most, they came through.
And in that scenario, when you are that depleted, we talked about this a little bit last night, when you're that depleted and you have to have guys that step up, special teams is where you are cannibalizing from, because it is a third of the game, but it's a third of the game that kind of, you know, kind of gets guys shoved into it a little bit. I mean, you can make the argument that Dave Tobe had his quote unquote worst special teams roster this year because they eliminated a lot of the veterans. They moved on from a lot of guys that played those special roles that Dave Tobe really liked, and they were relying on a lot of young players, a lot of new players, a lot of rookies, and so it took a little while to get there. And in this moment, right then and there, that was the biggest part. It really needed to be perfect in that phase, because one blunder in that phase is yep. the difference between this. Harrison Butker misses a field goal. This is an extra point. This is going a completely different way. The game plan is vastly different in all of those scenarios. So being perfect on that side of the ball was absolutely necessary for this team.
So let's talk about the game plan. Mm-hmm. That game plan got turned upside down quickly. Juju Smith-Schuster came out and said it was a fire game plan. We saw some of the stuff that they had early on.
Looked fun.
It did look fun. I can see how somebody would think that was a fire game plan. Juju leaves. Justin Watson not available with an illness, so you're already down a couple guys very early, and then you're looking at Marcus Kemp getting serious reps. Sky Moore stepped up, played very well. MVS had the best game of his career.
Monster game.
I don't think that's hyperbole to say it's his best game of his career.
I think he might agree with that. I really do.
Yeah,
yes,
especially on the stage that was at. I think the mm-hmm. the way that they played was incredible, and that's kind of the second group we want to talk about, is that wide receiver group as a whole. And there's many ways that we can go with just like the wide receiver group, the coaching staff adapting to that as well, yeah. I think is another thing that's just incredible. But Craig, what were kind of your thoughts on the wide receivers?
I mean, when you're that far into your depth chart, like, I mean, I know there's a lot of comparison between the way that Joe Burrow played last night, the way Patrick Mahomes played last night, who had more big time throws, turnover worthy, whatever. Don't just yeah. ignore all of that. One of those guys was throwing to three really truly good top shelf receivers. Yes. The other one was throwing to an injured hobbled Travis Kelce, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and a bunch of guys that haven't done hardly anything for the Chiefs this year. I mean, it's not to run them down. It's right. a very tough group to crack into with Juju Smith-Schuster out there, Kadarius Toney, Mecole Hardman. It is a tough group to try and crack into. And so to be able to lean on those guys and put them in those scenarios is an incredible feat by just the coaching staff, those players for working their asses off to make sure that they got it to that point. They were so deep in their depth chart. Marcus Kemp was playing that Justin Watson role for a lot of the game. It wasn't just because of the injury there that he was forced into action, because he was playing a lot of those roles. became almost a full-time player by the end of that. I mean, the Chiefs, yes, they were relying on some heavy personnel a little bit here and there, but they had to go deep into their wide receiver rotation to run anything with 11 personnel. And I think you saw a little bit of that with maybe some of the play clock scenarios, you know, get the play in, get the play in, and try and just get some yards, try and get a positive impact there, because they're in the middle of the game and they had all those injuries. Just seemed like they were a little bit lost as to what they needed to do. And a lot of that can be chalked up to those injuries. They flipped it there in the end of the third quarter, beginning of the fourth quarter. All of a sudden it became, okay, we figured out how to use these guys. We figured out how to implement them, and it was very effective again.
It was, and that's a testament to Andy Reid, to Eric Bieniemy, to everyone.
Everyone,
that staff.
Like Joe Blamire.
Yes, there you go. I think that's the biggest thing to me is that, you know, Marcus Kemp was a practice squad call-up because of what the Bengals did to Chris Lamont, right? And ultimately,
they needed him.
They needed him badly. Like, they needed him we started talking too, because I was thinking Amir Smith-Marset, I think, was a call-up for the practice squad.
He was inactive.
Mm-hmm. But it got to the point where I was like, okay, what happens is one of these other guys go down, because like it wasn't out of the question at that point. You had everyone going down. So it was huge to see, I think, Sky Moore come in, step up. Everyone talks about wanting to see more Sky Moore, right? I think that's what people want to see, seeing him able to step up in that situation. I think the biggest takeaway, though, Marcus Kemp just being able to come in there. I know he's been with the organization for a while. He's been, you know, that's a guy you want on your practice squad.
Yes. It
really is. A veteran like that who can come in and really, in a really tight bench when you really need him, he was there. And he did what he needed to do. He didn't drop really anything. He caught everything that was thrown to him. So
yeah,
that's
crucial conversion.
All you can ask
crucial for. Catch, crucial conversion. You get that out of Marcus Kemp in a playoff game when you need it. I mean, you're taking that to the bank. You absolutely are.
Yeah. 2 weeks off. Week off, but then they'll get back and have a game prep week leading into the Super Bowl. I believe that'll be February 12th is the Super Bowl. Wow. In Arizona, where they started the season. Another very important kind of storyline. Let's flip to the defensive side of the ball, because where we started the season in Arizona, we got to see a half of Trent McDuffie.
Yes.
But not only that, half of Trent McDuffie, we got to see some other rookie corners come up and play. And that rookie DB group stepped up tremendously after L'Jarius Sneed's injury.
I mean, yeah, L'Jarius Sneed is a massive loss. It just is. The amount of things that you can do in the secondary, the amount of things that you can run from a coverage perspective is very difficult when you lose a guy like that, a veteran player like that. We were sitting at the Shrine Bowl talking to some of our friends down here, fellow analysts that are sitting down there. We were talking about losing L'Jarius Sneed, and everybody to a man is just sitting there going, man, you know, that all of a sudden your coverage playbook just disappears. Like it really does. Like, you know, and so the feat that those rookie corners were able to pull off was pretty amazing. Yes, they got God a couple times. Those are good receivers, really good receivers there. But each one of them stepped up and played an important role. Jalen Watson comes up with an interception on a duck thrown by Joe Burrow, but a great job of staying in phase, getting it done. And then turn around, Brian Cook makes one of the plays of the game on that diving tipped pass up to Joshua Williams, another rookie corner stepping in for L'Jarius Sneed. Trent McDuffie made some absolutely crucial tackles. They were targeting him a little bit on a couple of slips and falls and things like that. They played better than the stat line is going to show.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, nobody's going to look back at this game as a Chief fan and say, oh, the rookie corners didn't play well. I think everyone's going to look back and say that they played well, but I think that they played even better than we're really going to look at and say, because you're going to look back at the stats and go, they gave up a whole bunch of yards.
A lot of those whole bunch of yards happened on like two or three plays.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
When you talk about, there's a one Hayden Hurst play, I think it was on the 3rd and 16.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened. And then it almost seems like those inevitable plays, right? Jump balls to Jamar Chase, the jump balls to T. Higgins.
They do that better than any receiver group in the league.
Yeah. They do. And that's what they do. They work at the catch point. They're very good at the catch point. Two wide receivers that can get it done there. When you throw a 50-50 ball, it's more like 75-25.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things. They're going to get theirs. And as long as you can kind of limit that. I thought the rookie corners did a really good job. And you mentioned Brian Cook. I mentioned that to Ken Swanson. We were watching the extended highlights that they had. And just like, man, Brian Cook played really well.
Really well.
He played really well.
That's about the fourth week in a row that he played really well. Yeah.
It was great to see. Even on the defensive pass interference, he got there early. He did. That was pass interference.
It was.
But Still playing that the way he did.
Physicality.
I loved it. I loved the way how he played that. But yeah, super excited about how this defense is going forward. Good to see some positive news about Legarius Sneed. Obviously, kind of too hard to tell with the concussion, the protocol, and everything like that. You know, Tua still in the concussion protocol.
I know.
Who knows how that'll be? We're out here in Vegas at the Shrine Bowl. You know who won't be out here at Vegas here in a little bit for the Pro Bowl is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be playing in the Super Bowl against the Philadelphia Eagles.
But at least they still get those honors. Get that money. Get that credit. I know that we talk about the Pro Bowl a lot. It's just kind of one of those, you know, it doesn't really matter playing flag football this year and all that stuff. It matters to those players. And so, yeah, they get to skip it. Yeah, you know, you can kind of discard it as a Chiefs fan. But remember how important that is to some of them. Contract incentives, things like that. I mean, Orlando Brown Jr.'s got a contract coming up, and you best believe that he's going to be talking about the fact that he's at four straight Pro Bowls here. So, I mean, it matters.
It does. They're going to be throwing out those honors. Ken Swanson made a point last night. Patrick Mahomes will be at the NFL honors. Travis Kelce won't be at the NFL honors. Which is a real shame.
They're losing their star power over there.
I don't know who they're going to have to call on to you know, make fun of all their jokes,
Oh, that's too bad because Chris Jones won't be there either. Defensive player of the year candidate. Oh, it's too bad.
That stinks. Really bad. That's really too bad. Well, I'm excited for this game. Obviously, we'll have plenty. Don't worry. We'll have plenty of content for you, getting you ready for not only the Super Bowl, but everything else leading up in the middle of the week and all the storylines that are going to be coming out from this game. Because there's certainly going to be plenty. We're already one day into all of this. We've got all kinds of storylines. So thank you for watching this episode of KCS and Update. Shout out to DraftKings and everyone who is watching and supporting us. If you like this video, make sure to drop a like. If you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, follow us there so you don't miss an episode. I'm Tucker Franklin. That's Craig Stout. You can catch him on the KC Laboratory coming out tonight. Super excited for that. So until then, we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard and think others would as well. You can find all six of our channels at KCSN, covering the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.